The Tragedy of Julius Caesar by William Shakespeare. Act 3, Scene 1. Rome. Before the Capitol. The Senate sitting. A crowd of people in the street leading to the Capitol, among them Artemidorus and the soothsayer. There is a flourish. Enter Caesar, Brutus, Cassius, Casca, Decius, Metellus, Trebonius, Cinna, Antony, Lepidus, Popilius, Publius, and others.
The Ides of March are come.
Aye, Caesar, but not gone.
Hail, Caesar, read this schedule.
Trebonius doth desire you to o'er read at your best leisure this his humble suit.
O Caesar, read mine first, for mine's a suit that toucheth Caesar nearer. Read it, great Caesar.
What touches us ourselves shall be last served.
Delay not, Caesar, read it instantly.
What, is the fellow mad?
Sirrah, give place.
What urge you your petitions in the street? Come to the Capitol.
Caesar enters the Capitol, the rest following. All the senators rise.
I wish your enterprise today may thrive.
What enterprise, Popilius?
Fare you well.
Advances to Caesar.
What said Popilius Lena?
He wished today our enterprise might thrive. I fear our purpose is discovered.
Look how he makes to Caesar. Mark him.
Casca, be sudden, for we fear prevention. Brutus, what shall be done? If this be known, Cassius or Caesar never shall turn back, for I will slay myself.
Cassius, be constant. Popilius Lena speaks not of our purposes, for look, he smiles, and Caesar doth not change.
Trebonius knows his time, for look you, Brutus, he draws Mark Antony out of the way.
Antony and Trebonius exit. Caesar and the senators take their seats.
Where is Metellus Cimber? Let him go, and presently prefer his suit to Caesar.
He is addressed. Press near and second him.
Casca, you are the first that rears your hand.
Are we all ready?
What is now amiss that Caesar and his Senate must redress?
Most high, most mighty, and most puissant Caesar, Metellus Cimber throws before thy seat a humble heart.
He kneels.
I must prevent thee, Cimber. These couchings and these lowly courtesies might fire the blood of ordinary men and turn pre-ordinance and first decree into the law of children. Be not fond to think that Caesar bears such rebel blood that will be thawed from the true quality within that which melteth fools. I mean sweet words, low crooked curtsies, and base spaniel fawning. Thy brother by decree is banished. If thou dost bend and pray and fawn for him, I spurn thee like a cur out of my way.
Caesar, thou dost me wrong.
Caesar never did wrong but with just cause, nor without cause will he be satisfied.
Is there no voice more worthy than my own to sound more sweetly in great Caesar's ear for the repealing of my banished brother?
I kiss thy hand, but not in flattery, Caesar, desiring thee that Publius Cimber may have an immediate freedom of repeal.
What, Brutus?
Pardon, Caesar. Caesar, pardon. As low as to thy foot doth Cassius fall to beg enfranchisement for Publius Cimber.
I could be well moved if I were as you. If I could pray to move, prayers would move me. But I am constant as the northern star, of whose true fixed and resting quality there is no fellow in the firmament. The skies are printed with unnumbered sparks. They are all fire, and every one doth shine, but there's but one in all doth hold his place. So in the world 'tis furnished well with men, and men are flesh and blood and apprehensive. Yet in the number I do know but one that unassailable holds on his rank unshaked of motion, and that I am he. Let me a little show it, even in this, that I was constant, Simba should be banished, and constant do remain to keep him so.
O Caesar,
hence wilt thou lift up Olympus?
Great Caesar, doth not Brutus bootless kneel?
Speak, hands, for me.
Casca stabs Caesar in the neck. Caesar catches hold of his arm. He is then stabbed by several other conspirators, and at last by Marcus Brutus.
Et
too, Brute. Then fall, Caesar.
Caesar dies. The senators and people retire in confusion.
Liberty! Freedom! Tyranny is dead! Run, hence, proclaim, cry it about the streets!
Some to the common pulpits and cry out, Liberty, freedom, and enfranchisement! People and senators, be not affrighted. Fly not. Stand still. Ambition's debt is paid. Go to the pulpit, Brutus. And Cassius, too. Where's Publius?
Here, quite confounded with this mutiny.
Stand fast together, lest some friend of Caesar's should chance.
Talk not of standing. Publius, good cheer. There is no harm intended to your person, nor to no Roman else. So tell them, Publius.
And leave us, Publius, lest that the people rushing on us should do your age some mischief.
Do so, and let no man abide this deed, but we the doers.
Trebonius re-enters.
Where's Antony?
Fled to his house amazed. Men, wives, and children stare, cry out, and run, as it were doomsday.
Fates, we will know your pleasures. That we shall die, we know, 'tis but the time and drawing days out that men stand upon.
Why, he that cuts off 20 years of life cuts off so many years of fearing death.
Grant that, and then is death a benefit? So are we Caesar's friends that have abridged his time of fearing death.
Stoop, Romans, stoop, and let us bathe our hands in Caesar's blood up to the elbows and besmear our swords. Then walk we forth even to the marketplace, and waving our red weapons o'er our heads, let's all cry, Peace, freedom, and liberty.
Stoop, then, and wash. How many ages hence shall this our lofty scene be acted o'er in states unborn and accents yet unknown?
How many times shall Caesar bleed in sport, that now on Pompey's basis lies along no worthier than the dust?
So oft as that shall be, so often shall the knot of us be called the men that gave their country liberty.
What, shall we forth?
Ay, every man away. Brutus shall lead, and we will grace his heels with the most boldest and best hearts of Rome.
Soft. Who comes here?
A servant enters.
A friend of Antony's.
Thus, Brutus, did my master bid me kneel. Thus did Mark Antony bid me fall down, and being prostrate, thus he bade me say, Brutus is noble, wise, valiant, and honest. Caesar was mighty, bold, royal, and loving. Say, I love Brutus, and I honor him. Say, I feared Caesar honored him and loved him. If Brutus will vouchsafe that Antony may safely come to him and be resolved, how Caesar hath deserved to lie in death, Mark Antony shall not love Caesar dead, so well as Brutus living, but will follow the fortunes and affairs of noble Brutus through the hazards of this untrod state with all true faith. So says my master Antony.
Thy master is a wise and valiant Roman. I never thought him worse.
Tell him, so please him come unto this place. He shall be satisfied, and by my honour depart untouched.
I'll fetch him presently.
The servant exits.
I know that we shall have him well to friend.
I wish we may, but yet I have a mind that fears him much, and my misgiving still falls shrewdly to the purpose.
But here comes Antony.
Antony re-enters.
Welcome, Mark Antony.
O mighty Caesar, dost thou lie so low? Are all thy conquests, glories, triumphs, spoils, shrunk to this little measure? Fare thee well.
I know not, gentlemen, what you intend. Who else must be let blood? Who else is rank?
If I myself, there is no hour so fit as Caesar's death hour, nor no instrument of half that work as those your swords made rich with the most noble blood of all this world.
I do beseech ye, if you bear me hard now, whilst your purpled hands do reek and smoke, fulfil your pleasure. Live 1,000 years, I shall not find myself so apt to die. No place will please me so, no means of death as here by Caesar, and by you cut off, the choice and master spirits of this age.
O Antony, beg not your death of us, though now we must appear bloody and cruel, as by our hands in this our present act you see we do.
yet see you but our hands, and this the bleeding business they have done. Our hearts you see not, they are pitiful. And pity to the general wrong of Rome, as fire drives out fire, so pity, pity, hath done this deed on Caesar. For your part, to you our swords have leaden points, Mark Antony, our arms in strength of amity, and our hearts of brother's temper, to receive you in with all kind love, good thoughts, and reverence. Your voice shall be as strong as any man's in the disposing of new dignities. Only be patient till we have appeased the multitude besides themselves with fear, and then we will deliver you the cause. Why, I, that did love Caesar when I struck him, have thus proceeded. I doubt not of your wisdom. Let each man render me his bloody hand. First, Marcus Brutus, will I shake with you. Next, Caius Cassius, do I take your hand. Now, Decius Brutus, yours. Now yours, Metellus. Yours, Cinna. And, my valiant Casca, yours. Though last, not least in love, yours, good Trebonius. Gentlemen all, alas, what shall I say? My credit now stands on such slippery ground that one of two bad ways you must conceit me either a coward or a flatterer. That I did love thee, Caesar, oh, 'tis true. If then thy spirit look upon us now, shall it not grieve thee dearer than thy death to see thy Antony making his peace, shaking the bloody fingers of thy foes, most noble, in the presence of thy corpse? Had I as many eyes as thou hast wounds, weeping as fast as they stream forth thy blood, it would become me better than to close in terms of friendship with thine enemies. Pardon me, Julius. Here wast thou bade, brave heart. Here didst thou fall, and here thy hunters stand, signed in thy spoil and crimsoned in thy death. O world, thou wast the forest to this heart, and this indeed, O world, the heart of thee, how like a deer strucken by many princes dost thou here lie. Mark Antony. Pardon me, Caius Cassius. The enemies of Caesar shall say this, then in a friend it is called modesty. I blame you not for praising Caesar so, but what compact mean you to have with us? Will you be pricked in number of our friends, or shall we on and not depend on you? Therefore I took your hands, but was indeed swayed from the point by looking down on Caesar. Friends, am I with you all, and love you all, upon this hope that you shall give me reasons why and wherein Caesar was dangerous. Or else, were this a savage spectacle, our reasons are so full of good regard that were you Antony, the son of Caesar, you should be satisfied. That's all I seek, and am, moreover, suitor, that I may produce his body to the marketplace, and in the pulpit, as becomes a friend, speak in the order of his funeral. You shall, Mark Antony. Brutus, a word with you. Cassius speaks aside to Brutus. You know not what you do. Do not consent that Antony speak in his funeral. Know you how much the people may be moved by that which he will utter? By your pardon, I will myself into the pulpit first, and show the reason of our Caesar's death. What Antony shall speak, I will protest. He speaks by leave and by permission, and that we are contented Caesar shall have all true rites and lawful ceremonies, it shall advantage more than to do us wrong. I know not what may fall. I like it not. Mark Antony, here, take you Caesar's body. You shall not in your funeral speech blame us, but speak all good you can devise of Caesar, and say you do it by our permission. Else shall you not have any hand at all about his funeral, and you shall speak in the same pulpit whereto I am going after my speech is ended. Be it so. I do desire no more. Prepare the body, then, and follow us. All exit but Antony. Oh, pardon me, thou bleeding piece of earth, that I am meek and gentle with these butchers. Thou art the ruins of the noblest man that ever lived in the tide of times. Woe to the hand that shed this costly blood! Over thy wounds now do I prophesy, which, like dumb mouths, do ope their ruby lips, do beg the voice and utterance of my tongue. A curse shall light upon the limbs of men. Domestic fury and fierce civil strife shall cumber all the parts of Italy. Blood and destruction shall be so in use, and dreadful objects so familiar that mothers shall but smile when they behold their infants quartered with the hands of war. All pity choked with custom of fell deeds, and Caesar's spirit ranging for revenge, with eight by his side come hot from hell, shall in these confines with a monarch's voice cry havoc and let slip the dogs of war, that this foul deed shall smell above the earth with carrion men groaning for burial.
A servant enters.
You serve Octavius Caesar, do you not?
I do, Mark Antony.
Caesar did right for him to come to Rome.
He did receive his letters, and is coming, and bid me say to you by word of mouth.
The servant sees Caesar's body.
Oh, Caesar!
Thy heart is big. Get thee apart and weep. Passion, I see, is catching for mine eyes, seeing those beads of sorrow stand in thine, began to water.
Is thy master coming?
He lies tonight within 7 leagues of Rome.
Post back with speed, and tell him what hath chanced. Here is a mourning Rome, a dangerous Rome, no Rome of safety for Octavius yet.
Hie hence and tell him so.
Yet stay a while.
Thou shalt not back till I have borne this corpse into the marketplace.
There shall I try in my oration how the people take the cruel issue of these bloody men.
According to the which thou shalt discourse to young Octavius of the state of things.
Lend me your hand.
They exit with Caesar's body. The end of Act 3, Scene 1 of The Tragedy of Julius Caesar. Read by Rick Kishner for Litigo on the web at fcit.usf.edu.